Evan Roberts. Tiki Barber. It's Evan and Tiki on WFAN, The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Welcome to Subway Series Week. The New York Yankees, the New York Mets. Big week of shows, but we'll get to that later. The New York Yankee fans are slowly turning on Juan Soto. We'll address that as the show rolls on. And obviously the Yankees lose another series. We will also be celebrating the career of Howie Rose. 50 years in New York sports media. He'll be with us at 5 o'clock, and throughout the show, we'll be playing some of his greatest play-by-play moments that you may have heard or you may have missed over his illustrious career. But I start by telling you that on this Monday at 2 o'clock, I'm very mixed. There's a side of Evan that's very happy, pumped up. The Mets did their job this weekend against the Chicago Cubs. I told you on Friday this was a very, very important series, and they won it. Blew them out on Friday, got blown out on Saturday, respond with a huge win on Sunday night. Pumped up. Mets are playing great baseball. They're two games under 500. I'm happy. Why would I not be happy? But then the other side of me is pissed off at Rob Manfred and pissed off at these frauds that run Major League Baseball. Because you've got to explain to me, you have got to explain to Tiki, and you got to explain to Edwin Diaz why for some people, hey, your hands are too sticky, can you wash your hands? They did that with Max Scherzer last year. And you remember what happened? Max washed his hands and then spun a yarn that his hands actually got stickier. Whatever, not my problem now. Domingo Germán, wash your hands. Clark Schmidt, wash your hands. And here's what pisses me off about this. When those three guys, Tiki, were told to wash their hands, they had already pitched in the game, which means they may have recorded illegal outs, right?
Yeah.
They may have gotten outs.
In theory.
In theory. Edwin Diaz last night in Chicago never pitched. So let me get this straight, Commish. You guys and your umpires, your henchmen, will throw a guy out for never committing the crime because he never pitched. But these other guys, oh, wash your hands. It'll be okay. This is BS.
Right.
So, I have to stop myself.
Right. I can see it. You're very close to...
Because it's a joke, bro.
Here's the only caveat that I could throw in that maybe gives some explanation, because I agree with you in large part. It's very hypocritical how it's adjudicated in real time on the field by the umpires. Max Scherzer, Domingo Germán, Clark Schmidt were all starters, right? They were all starting. So they had been in the game during whatever inning, second or third inning, depending on whenever they got checked. They put some more rosin. They spit a little bit harder with some more loogies. No offense, loogie. Rub some dirt on it. And it just got a little too sticky. And so throughout the game, they are able to see the difference. Because they probably get checked once or twice every couple of innings, right? I think it's every inning now, don't they? Coming off the field. So you had a chance to, the referee, the umpire, had a chance to touch their hands and say, it's fine now. Touch their hands, it's fine now. Touch their hands, well, something's a little off here. It was fine before, go wash your hands. Whereas a reliever is different. That's the only difference.
What's the difference? Because he hasn't pitched yet?
Yeah.
So he hasn't cheated yet?
He hasn't cheated yet.
If you
want
to call this cheating, which I don't think it is,
I don't think
he hasn't done it yet.
It's not cheating because he didn't cheat. So there are clearly two sets of rules. It sounds like there's a rule, it feels like. I don't know the other... How many other instances of ejections were there? Seven?
There's been
10?
Eight, and three of them are Mets.
Right.
Drew Smith, Max Scherzer, and Edwin Diaz.
So the other five, I don't know the circumstances of, because I'm just not aware of them. We could go do some quick research on it. But I would bet they're starters as well. And there are not relievers that are getting caught into this mix. And so the problem is that there needs to be two different sets of rules, clearly. Or maybe there are two sets of rules and we're just not aware of it.
No. Here's the problem to me, okay? And I understand that relievers and starters, they're different. Here's what I want. Because I would equate using sticky stuff to driving a little bit over the speed limit. Okay? That's what I think it is. It's not drunk driving, which is a serious offense, no matter how famous you are and how much you want your PR people to attack police officers for doing their freaking job, which happened this weekend. Disgraceful. on the part of Timberlake and his people. And let's attack that he's a redhead. What's wrong with him being a redhead? What's wrong with him being a redhead? First of all, that's a serious offense. Like, I think we'd all agree with that.
Right.
Going a couple of miles an hour over the speed limit is not.
Yes.
And to me, using sticky stuff is that.
Technically, it's cheating, but it's not really, because what are you really harming?
Well, and also, here's why, to me, it's also not cheating. No one wants to see guys ejected. It doesn't matter if it's Edwin Diaz, Clark Schmidt, or even Drew Smith last year. No one wants that. So what we need to do, what we need to be better at, is you always tell the player, hey, I think it's too sticky, wash it off. Max Scherzer is different. And I'll tell you why Max Scherzer is different. Max Scherzer, who I think is a liar probably, washed his hands and came back with an even stickier hand. So I can see the umpire saying, hey, guy, man, we tried,
bro. What are you doing, man? Help us out.
We tried. We told you to wash your hands. And he had his whole cockamamie story about it got stickier. But in terms of a warning, give the guy a warning. Let him clean his hands. Because here's why I'm really pissed off to my fellow Met fans and to the non-Met fans out there. I wasn't pissed off about last night. I wasn't pissed off about worrying the Mets were going to blow this game. It is ridiculous that now Edwin Diaz faces a 10-game suspension,
right,
and the Mets have to play shorthanded. So they've got to have one short in the bullpen. Meanwhile, their starters, for the most part, don't go deep into games. The Mets are harmed for 10 days. And why are they harmed? Why are they harmed? They're harmed because four dumb umpires said that's too sticky. That's why they're harmed. It's a joke. You tell him, hey, this is stickier than normal. Wash your hands. I'll give you this. If he comes back and his hands are stickier, fine. Then he's a moron who deserves to be thrown out of the game.
Right.
But on the first warning to say you're out, and forget just being out, a 10-game suspension, I call upon Major League Baseball to fix this. Drop the suspension. And by the way, to Rob Manfred and all you geniuses at Major League Baseball, I saw Edwin Diaz take his glove. I saw him go back into the dugout with his glove. Did you even get his glove? So what are you going to do about it? You're going to trust the four umpires and say, oh, gee golly, he must be suspended for 10 games. This crap needs to stop.
Yeah,
it's affected the Mets greatly. I usually don't bitch about umpires or leagues out to get me, but I'm sorry. This is ridiculous. This is the third time it's happened, each time stupider than another.
Right. Well, the challenge was that it feels arbitrary. Right, the challenge for interpreting this is that it feels arbitrary. It feels like we just feel like throwing Edwin Diaz out, and we're not going to give him a chance to rectify it.
Right.
Right, in real time. He didn't throw a pitch. He gets ejected after arguing. Now, maybe he was saying something offensive. I have no idea.
No, he wasn't.
I'm just trying to guess why.
Stop.
All of a sudden, he gets tossed without having a chance, like everybody else has been tossed, to rectify the situation. And so it feels like a bias. It feels like there is a bias or another set of rules for relievers. And I don't remember that being the case when this rule was instituted a couple of years ago. I don't remember relievers getting a different criteria that they had to meet. And so it feels unfair and it feels biased. Now, what is Major League Baseball going to do about this?
Nothing.
Nothing.
It's too late because they're going to suspend him for 10 games, and it's a joke, dude.
They're not going to do anything because it feels like Carlos Mendoza is just kind of like, okay, it's all right. Yeah, he was just a little too sticky. Like, why doesn't he come to his defense? Why isn't Carlos Mendoza getting himself tossed out of that game? And why is he not lambasting the umpires afterwards, right? Because what you're saying is exactly right. And how he doesn't feel that way, I don't understand. Like, I don't understand why he's not defending Edwin Diaz in this instance, unless he's just so terrified of mighty old baseball and whatever fine he's going to get handed down for complaining about umpiring that he just says, it's all right.
All right, so I'm not going to defend him on this, but here's what I will defend him.
But he keeps not defending his guys.
I totally understand. Everything you just said is fair. I'm not attacking you back. What I'm going to tell you is, right now, I just want to be honest with everybody, I'm a little biased. Carlos Mendoza's pushing all the right buttons.
Of course he is.
The New York Mets are red freaking hot. Last night, the conversation he had with Luis Severino, the look in the eye, the how you feeling, Louis, after he got that big strikeout of Cody Bellinger. He had done that earlier this season with Jose Quintana. I'm loving Carlos Mendoza, and I think most of us as Met fans are. And I think where the bias comes in is if the Mets were struggling, I would echo everything you said. Mm-hmm. And I'd say, why aren't you screaming? Why aren't you yelling?
So it's circumstantial for you.
Yeah, no, I'm admitting that. Right. It's circumstantial because you bring up a very good point. Why did the manager, after the game with the media, and even during the game when Edwin was thrown out, why did he just look and say, shucks, I guess it happens. Maybe he's tired of fighting the man. Maybe he realizes it's not going to do anything, that it is what it is. But I totally understand that criticism of him. But I am biased because the New York Mets are the hottest team in baseball. And he's the pilot. And he moved Lindor to the leadoff spot. And he's pressing all the right buttons. Right. And so I'm just being honest with what I think a lot of Met fans feel like. When things are bad, we're quick to rip the manager. Watch Yankee fans when we talk about the Yankees today. They'll find things to rip Aaron Boone about. And I think I'm the opposite right now because of how well this team is playing, which is why I said at the top, I'm very mixed right now. I'm happy. The Mets are playing great baseball. I'm mad at Major League Baseball. I feel like they're wronging the Mets way too often. And I'm also slightly concerned about the impact this is going to have on the Mets over the next 10 days. They play the Yankees. More on them later. They're still a good team. They play the Astros. They're red hot. They play a monstrous 4 games against the Washington Nationals, who surprisingly have been good. Those are huge games. Edwin Diaz will not be available, and the Mets will be minus a reliever in all of those games I just mentioned. Mm-hmm. And that's a little concerning. But the criticism of Carlos Mendoza, it's fair. Yeah. I get it. Why do you think he didn't fight back? Like, do you have a theory on that?
I think he didn't want to anger Major League Baseball.
But why would he be afraid of that?
I don't know. I don't know. But why else would you be so passive? Like, why else would you not stand up for your reliever?
Yeah.
Right, the one of the great catalysts for the Mets over the last couple of years, obviously not last year because he missed it and not the beginning of this year, but you know what I mean. And so he's an important piece of this turnaround,
yeah.
Right? He's healthy again,
yes.
And he's not blowing saves, and he looks like a semblance of the Edwin Diaz that we all saw a couple of years ago. So why not defend him? And the only thing I could say is that maybe Edwin Diaz was actually cheating. Right? Maybe he actually did have some, I don't know, pine tar on his hands.
That's the second level to this. Edwin Diaz was having a terrible season.
Mm-hmm.
Edwin Diaz went on the injured list. Edwin Diaz comes back, and in the limited time he's pitched well. Is it possible that Edwin Diaz went the route of others and said, look, I'm struggling. I got to figure this out. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'll lube up my hands more than normal. Is that possible?
I mean, of course.
Is that what you're saying?
Of course it's possible. Do I think it's likely? No, I don't.
You know what?
I think he just does what he always does. Just like Clark Schmidt said, he still does as he always does. I just put some rosin on it, throw some dirt and spit and everything else, and then I go.
But you know what my answer to this is? Let's say you're right. Even though you're not necessarily saying it, maybe you're theorizing it. Let's say those
I'm just trying to understand why the manager doesn't support the player.
No, I get you on that. And that would that piss you off?
Of course it would. Especially in that type of situation. Not that it was embarrassing. I don't want to say it. Oh, it's embarrassing.
I mean, it kind of was. It's national
TV. It's like you're getting labeled a cheater right now. And now you didn't. You haven't even cheated.
Yeah. I look at it this way with the sticky stuff. All right. Even if he was using an excess amount that he normally doesn't, and Edwin claims he was using the same amount of stuff. By the way, Drew Smith, who I know we all know stinks, but Drew Smith, who followed Edwin Diaz and also got ejected last year. We forget this. It was the Mets against the Yankees. So it was this time of year.
I remember this.
I'll tell you why you forget, and a lot of people forget it, because it was forgettable. It was the Max Scherzer game, the game where Max Scherzer, imploded on the mound against the Yankees. And in that game, the Mets were down by a run. Drew Smith came in and immediately got ejected. It was like the seventh inning of the game.
Yeah, I don't even remember that.
Because it was forgettable, trust me.
Right.
And Drew Smith even said, look, I haven't done anything different. Like, I'm literally using the same amount of stuff on my hands as I did then. But even if, in Edwin's case, you're right, or those out there are right, maybe Edwin looped himself up some more. Maybe Edwin's like, man, I got to try something else. I still believe that if your umpires tell the guy to wash their hands and move on.
That's the one thing that's not explainable.
I don't think
why they didn't allow him to rectify it.
It's like, here's the way I would look at it. It's as if I'm about to get into my car, and the police officer knows I'm about to go 60 in a 50. And he's like, hey, don't go 60 in a 50. You know what? That's a good call, Mr. Police Officer. I'm not. And then I go out, and I don't go 60 in a 50. No harm, no foul. I actually never committed the crime.
Right.
Now, if he tells me don't go 60 in a 50, and I proceed to go 60 in a 50, yes, he has every right to throw me out.
Right.
So if Edwin Diaz goes to wash his hands, comes back, and the hands are stickier, Max Scherzer style, fine.
Right. So what he effectively did was say, hey, Evan, don't go 60 in a 50. You know what? I think you're going to go 60 and a 50. You're getting a ticket.
Isn't it the same?
That's exactly what happened.
That's exactly what happened.
But the difference is these umpires playing, you know, Sunday night baseball, they want to get the heck out of there. They don't have time for Edwin Diaz to wash his hands before they catch their
first. Oh, that's crap. They don't have time? Then let's wait 15 minutes for Drew Smith to warm up. Have time. That's ridiculous. That has nothing to do with it. That has to do with Major League Baseball. And I put it on the top. Rob Manfred and the crew. Putting too much of an emphasis on this.
Yeah.
I get it. They want to clean up sticky stuff from the game. They think too much of an advantage went to the pitcher. Fine. Mm-hmm. But let there be warnings. Don't have closers or former aces immediately get ejected from games. That's my problem with this whole freaking thing. Because I don't think you realize how much of an impact this can potentially have on the Mets now for a week and a half.
Yeah. So it's now, I mean, the ejection is one thing, and it's almost fine. As a Met fan, you're just saying, "Yeah, okay, whatever. We still won, right? They handled it. It was okay. You didn't lose because Edwin Diaz was ejected. But now you have the Subway Series. You have a series after that.
Houston
series,
and then Washington, which is a big series.
Exactly. Where he's not going to be available.
He's available for none of those games, assuming Major League Baseball unloads a 10-game suspension, which I'm sure we'll hear about at some point today.
But that's automatic, correct?
It is automatic,
if you get ejected for sticky stuff, it's automatic. We're going to investigate it.
Well, you have a right to appeal. Well, here's where I'm confused about that. You just asked a great question. So my understanding from a year ago is that at Major League Baseball, the offices right here evaluated Max Scherzer's glove. Mm-hmm. And they analyzed it and came back and said it was way too sticky. Did we all not see Edwin Diaz take his glove with him to the dugout?
Yes.
So what that proves is there's a fake investigation. Are they going to investigate anything? We're just going to be Ohtani all over again? Oh, yeah, we investigated it. Sticky. There's your 10 games. That's the way it seems to me, right. And it's not fair. I'm a part of the judicial system now. I'm a former juror.
Alternate.
Yeah. This seems very un-American for Major League Baseball to just say, yep, guilty, let's move on. Mm. What the hell is this? What is this, a tyranny? Not Brandon, tyranny.
Right.
Did I get it right? Tyranny.
Tyranny. Yes, you just said it very, I don't know, oddly.
I did. We'll get to your calls coming up on this. We'll get to the Yankees. We'll get to the Mets. There's a lot to get to, including when we come back. A conspiracy that's going around regarding Edwin Diaz and the rat. Toll-free number 888-808-1019. That's the toll-free number. We are going to celebrate Howie Rose throughout the day. So let's kick it off right now with our very first Howie Rose call. And I want to be honest with the great Howie Rose and all the fans out there. This one killed me as a New York Islander fan. Let's go back 30 years ago. The New York Rangers with a 3-0 lead on the New York Islanders in 1994. And Howie Rose was, of course, doing radio, broadcasting the Rangers right here on WFAN. And you may recall Mark Messier putting the final dagger in the Islander season. Howie was very emphatic about it.
Kept in by Malikov. His shot blocked, comes out of the zone. And here's Messier racing on a breakaway. Cuts in, he shoots, he scores! And that, my friends, will bury the New York Islanders. Mark Messier cashes in a breakaway. And the Rangers, in 2:52, unless there's a miracle, will make it a 4-game washout of the New York Islanders. It's a 5-2 Ranger lead.
Powerful. Frustrating, but another brilliant call. And you're going to hear a lot of brilliance throughout the day. And then, of course, Howie will join us at 5 o'clock. I tell you, my wardrobe was very excited about what happened last night because I've had this really comfortable T-shirt that I have not worn in a long time because I never felt like I could wear it. It was a T-shirt made last year by Athlete Logos. I'm wearing it today. Can you read it to the audience?
It says, with a inside of a baseball, sweat and rosin.
Sweat and rosin. which was the excuse that Max Scherzer made a year ago when he got ejected in that Dodger game.
Isn't it every pitcher's excuse?
Every pitcher's excuse, yes.
It's just a little sticky. It's just sweat and rosin.
Right.
With some loogie thrown in.
But it became associated with Max because Max was the one ejected, and that's where the shirt came from. But now that Edwin Diaz has joined this company, and Edwin Diaz talked about the same thing, sweat and rosin, I feel like this shirt I'm wearing today not only shows solidarity with Edwin Diaz, but it is now an Edwin Diaz shirt. Like, that's what I'm wearing. I'm wearing a shirt out of support for Edwin Diaz, not that dinosaur who's washed up in Texas, even though he pitched well this weekend. So I feel like I'm supporting my guy, Edwin Diaz, who's being wronged by the man.
It's okay to champion Max Scherzer. It's okay.
I'm not championing that guy.
I mean, same color, similar. A little bit. Is that orange or is that red? I can't really tell.
It's always supposed to be, it's supposed to be orange and blue. Now, speaking of Edwin Diaz, we will mix in some great Howie Rose calls throughout the day. We're going to celebrate Howie's 50 years in New York sports media. He's had an incredible career working here at WFAN for a long time. Mets Extra, doing the Met games, doing Ranger games, the TV voice of the New York Islanders. He was the TV voice of the Mets for a few years as well. He's basically done it all. So here's another underratedly great call from Howie Rose. And in honor of Edwin Diaz, Edwin is on the mound as Howie calls just the second no-hitter in the history of the New York Mets.
Diaz staring at him on the rubber. Diaz looking into McCann. Diaz brings the hands together. The 0-2 pitch. Swung on and missed strike three. He got it with a slider. Put it in the books. Five Mets pitchers have combined to no-hit the Philadelphia Phillies. It is the second no-hitter in Mets franchise history. This one takes a village, but they get it done, and they're celebrating out in front of home plate. All of the Mets clad in their black jerseys for the first time this year, jumping on top of each other, jumping up and down. It's now a little bit more subdued celebration. They're not piling in from the bullpen as they did for Santana's no-hitter 10 years ago, but they know what they've accomplished. It's a rarity in baseball history, and for only the second time in now what is the 61st season that the New York Mets have been in existence, they have pitched a no-hitter. They have both taken place here at Citi Field, a complete game no-hitter by Santana against the St. Louis Cardinals, and now Tylor McGill, Drew Smith, Joely Rodriguez, Seth Lugo, and Edwin Diaz, five of them combined to no-hit the Philadelphia Phillies, the team that came into this game having scored more runs than any team in the National League. Congratulations to the New York Mets, the second no-hitter in franchise history.
I'll tell you the truth about this.
You watched this one on replay?
I watched this one on replay. It was in my book, My Mets Bible, because I was on DVR. Uh-huh. I saw it happen at 2 a.m.
Why were you on DVR?
I was so tired that night.
Oh.
I was physically exhausted on this Friday night that I went right to sleep. And I do it sometimes.
How much did you beat yourself up the next day?
Not at all, because I watched it as it was new to me. I started it at about 1 a.m.
You had no idea.
No idea.
I guess at 1 o'clock in the morning. Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, I watched it at 1 o'clock in the morning. It's actually in my book, My Mets Bible. And I watched it, had no idea it was going to happen. Couldn't believe it. It was surreal. And then when it happened, I checked my phone. I've got, 200 messages. But I was very mixed on how to feel, because a part of me said, this is amazing. It's a no-hitter. Even if it's a combined no-hitter, it's a no-hitter.
Stop. Don't tell me you were down on it because it was a combined no-hitter.
I wasn't down on it, but it was a little bit less special. And that was a part of me.
That
was mixed.
Don't you think that's harder?
Yeah, I think it's harder, but I'm just explaining I was mixed. Like, a part of me was, it's combined. The other part of me was, that's awesome, it's a no-hitter. And I didn't really know how to feel.
Right.
And what I did at about 3 a.m. as I was kind of putting all my thoughts together was I said, I need to hear Howie Rose.
Oh, I see.
Because
so Howie convinced you.
Howie is the conscience. Conscience?
Conscience.
He's the conscience of the New York Mets. I think I used that correctly.
Yes.
He's the conscience.
Yes.
He has seen it all. He's been around forever. He is strongly opinionated. He is a Met fan. And I think it's part of why we've all connected with him on this kind of level. He is a diehard Met fan broadcasting the Mets. And I swear to God, I'm not saying this because we're celebrating Howie today.
Yeah.
I needed to hear his call. And Gary's too, by the way. Right. Gary Cohn's a part of it. And I was going to know my emotion based on how he described it to me.
What he told you to hear.
Yes.
You know what's interesting about Howie, and you just heard it in that last clip, is that some play-by-play broadcasters are afraid to be out there, right? So they play it cool, right? They're just kind of like, yeah, okay, it's a pitch, so here it comes. Like, they just want to keep it flat.
Right.
Like, they want to explain it as it's happening because they don't want to sound biased. I think the best play-by-play voices, they get excited.
Oh, yeah.
Right? They portray what's actually happening in the mind or heart of a fan. And how he does that so well.
Because he is a fan. And it doesn't mean you have to be a fan to be a great broadcaster. I mean, look at John Sterling, who we celebrated recently. He wasn't a Yankee fan. I mean, he broadcasted the Braves. He did a lot of things.
Yeah, but he broadcasted with that same flair.
That's what I'm saying. Like, so it's not a prerequisite that you have to be a diehard fan.
I mean, hell, he would do some of these home run calls for the other teams.
No, I know.
You know what I mean?
Right.
It's like, come on now.
But Howie is a Met fan. So I remember listening at 3 a.m. to Howie and Gary, and I said, I'm going to close my eyes, and that will tell me how I should feel. Hmm. And I heard, and I think you all just heard it, there was emotion in that man's voice. That was a big deal.
No doubt.
So as much as maybe in the moment you're not sure how to feel about it, it's a combined no-hitter, we've already had one and all that, that is what convinced me, hey, this is pretty freaking special. And that was the combined no-hitter from 2022. But right now we're dealing with a new world. We're dealing with the fact that Edwin Diaz is about to be suspended for 10 games because of sweat and rosin. Now, I'm going to let this caller unveil a conspiracy theory that I had sent to me late last night at RicoB@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm.
This is a conspiracy theory that is going around amongst a lot of Met fans. A guy named David from New Jersey wrote me about this last night. Another guy he didn't reveal his name, but Jay Babb wrote me about this last night. So let us unveil the conspiracy theory on who ratted out Edwin Diaz, and the person with the honor of doing that is Chris in Flint, Michigan. So Chris, be the voice of the angry Met fan who wants to accuse somebody of being a rat. Go ahead.
Okay, first, before I get to that, I want to say, in all honesty, it is an honor to be on this radio station today, sandwiched in between my all-time favorite Met, David Wright, earlier, and the great Howie Rose.
Awesome.
So with that said, I believe the reason that Edwin was outed before he even threw a pitch was the rat without a bat, and that's Tomas Nino.
Oh.
He plays for the Cubs now.
Yeah.
And I watched his little interview on Friday before the game where they were talking to him in front of his Cub locker room. And he wasn't really making disparaging remarks, but he said, you know, Luis just got hot at the right time, so I guess that's why I'm gone.
Mm.
I felt a little bit of anger in him with someone who doesn't show a lot of, you know, emotion as a player or hitting ability as a player for that matter. I have a feeling that Tomas Nito had something to do with this, and I'd like to listen to your guys' opinions on that, honestly.
Right. So, in order for this to have happened, appreciate your call, Chris. And thanks for exposing that, because I heard this earlier as well. Tomas Nito, in theory, would have had to have said to somebody who then conveyed that to the umpires, you know what, Edwin Diaz, he's always doing a little something tricky back there. So make sure you check him before he comes out.
Yeah.
Now, he's not necessarily saying, Edwin Diaz is cheating, but he is saying, just check him just in case.
Yeah.
And so if that was to be true, it would in some ways explain why the referees have a biased opinion about Edwin Diaz.
Oh, I think it's very possible.
Because once you get something in your head, it's confirmation bias when it actually happens.
Yeah.
Right? So whatever you're thinking, in fact, you know, mental coaches will tell you this. Like, whatever you're thinking is likely what you're going to see.
Right.
And so if you come into the situation with Edwin Diaz, and in back of your mind you're saying, he's cheating, he's sticky, he's sticky, he's sticky, he's sticky, as soon as you see his hands, even if it's the same stickiness that anybody else would have had over the last month of your umpiring, you're going to say, you know what, he's cheating.
Right.
It's sticky.
Yeah.
It's more sticky than I would have expected.
Well, when you're looking for a rat, you need to find a reason for it. Tomas Nino's better. Tomas Nino was actually performing reasonably well for the Mets as a backup catcher in filling in for Francisco Alvarez when he was hurt. And he did such a good job. Remember, they got rid of Omar Narvaez.
Right.
So Tomas Nito felt like, wow, I finally belong. I got DFA'd last year. I'm back. I got a new lease on life. Life is good. And then Luis Torrens shows up in his world, outplays him, and Tomas Nito's gone. So it's easy to see why Tomas Nito would be bitter. And when Tomas Nito signed with Chicago a couple of days ago, we brought it up like, he's got the state secrets. It kind of reminds you like in the NFL when Bill Belichick, before he was dating 24-year-olds, would sign a former Jet just to get the intel, just to see what's going on. So I do not reject this conspiracy theory. I believe that it's possible. But would Tomas Nito do that to his friend Edwin Diaz, his countryman? Would he go to the umpires to rat out his friend?
I think it's unlikely.
What kind of human is that?
It's just because if it ever got found out, your rep is just shot.
Yeah.
No one will trust you ever again. And maybe he sticks with the Cubs and it becomes, I don't know, something of lore that he, when he first got here.
It won't because the Cubs didn't come back and
win. That's true. They lost the game.
Like, if they come back and won and it sparked them, then yes, it would live in Cub history.
If this ever became confirmed in any capacity, not even like that he actually went to an umpire and said, he's cheating, but he becomes connected with Edwin Diaz getting kicked out. No teammate anywhere else is going to trust him.
But as a professional athlete, don't you kind of respect it?
No.
Gotta do whatever it takes to win, right, Teague?
No. Because if I'm some reliever or starting pitcher in Chicago right now, and I think he's likely going to be gone at some point, I'm not developing a relationship with him, especially if I'm doing something on the edge of legality. Mm. So you just can't. This can't be true for Tomas Nito's career sake. Exactly.
Between
you don't want to be known as a rat.
Between Sean and Loogie, who do you think is more likely to be the rat when they get a job somewhere else?
I don't know. Loogie already tried to stab you in the back. That's when you were out in opening day.
So you say it's him?
I want to say it's Loogie.
But I did it publicly. If I'm going to blast you or make fun of you, I'll just do it publicly.
No, that's a fair point.
That's a good point.
Like, Tomas Nito did this privately. So being a rat is not public. I think being a rat, you got to kind of whisper like, hey, what's going on?
Good point. At least, Loogie will stab you in your face.
That's right.
That's right.
All right, here's the secret, KTU. You got to do this, this, and this, and this.
Yeah, I put myself over by bashing you.
Let's go to Mike in Clifton Park. What's up, Mike?
Hey, guys. Great show. So I agree with all of your points with Diaz. However, I was thinking maybe he wanted to get thrown out of the game.
Why?
And okay, so just hear me out, okay?
Okay.
So, he said he had too much rosin, dirt, sweat, right?
Right.
So just think it through for a second. It's pretty simple, I think, not to get thrown out and just hear me out. You just do that very lightly, okay, when you're warming up, okay? Almost even maybe have almost nothing on there, because as soon as the ump checks your hands, you have dirt, sweat, and rosin all over the place. So just go fuck wild with it on your hands then. So I'm like, well, you know, the only other reason I would think is his shoulder or knee barking that he didn't want to stay, and he just kind of goofed it up, and then he could, so in terms of his manager not defending him, maybe the manager is like annoyed, like, dude, they're going to check your hands. You're saying it's sweat, dirt, and rosin. Just go light in the bullpen and just goop it up when you're on the mound. All that stuff is around
Mike,
you
that
anyway.
That is a decent explanation for Mindy. If Mindy's annoyed.
He should be annoyed.
By Edwin Diaz. And so he just says, Edwin made his own bed, he can sleep in it.
Well, but Mindy should be annoyed because he's managing shorthanded for the next week and a half.
Yeah.
The question is, who are you mad at? Are you mad at the player or are you mad at the system and the umpires? I'm mad at the system and I'm mad at the umpires. I'm genuinely pissed off about it because I can see the future and I can see the challenge that now lies ahead for the Mets over the next 10 games. And I start to wonder and I start to be fearful of, hey, are there games they're going to lose because of this?
Yeah.
And there's a chance that they do. Who's the closer while Edwin's gone? And by the way, it's not just as simple as who's the closer. Who's filling in for the guy who's the closer? So if Reed Garrett now is asked to get big outs in the ninth inning, who's getting the big outs in the eighth inning? It's a trickle-down effect. But my anger is shifted towards the league.
Right.
According to our last caller, and I understand his theory, Mendy's anger is at Edwin Diaz. And look, Edwin Diaz, if he gets caught on May 25th or May 24th, right before he goes on the IL, and he's struggling, I think we'd all say, oh, yeah, he's...
Yeah, this is a good thing. It's a blessing.
He needs it.
It's fortuitous.
He has come back, and since he's come back, he's pitched three scoreless innings. He hasn't walked anybody. He hasn't given up any runs. He's given up two base hits. He's pitched well. I know it's a limited amount of time, but he's pitched well.
Right.
So why would he want to get caught?
No, he wouldn't, unless, as Mike was trying to allude to, that he's hurting, that he's actually not fully recovered yet. But we haven't seen any evidence of that. The evidence would be he's been a little bit off, even though he has only given up a couple of hits. But we haven't seen that. But he's been great.
This is exactly why I think this problem goes beyond the week and a half, 10 days that he'll be out, though, because how do you trust that Edwin Diaz bounces back confidence-wise if he was using sticky stuff? Where, like, you got to figure those first couple games he comes back, there's going to be nothing on his hand. He's going to be scared to death of getting pegged
again. But here's what I counter with that. Drew Smith, who is his teammate and is a reliever, said he didn't change anything.
Right, and was also kicked out and suspended.
Same thing.
But was Drew Smith going through a mental struggle?
He's always going through a
struggle. But you know what I mean, though? This was deep with Diaz before he came back. And now he comes back, has this problem. I'd be very concerned after the 10 days.
Look at you. You're smiling as you say that.
I got my own problems.
You certainly do have your own problems.
More on that later.
Yeah, we got a lot more on that later, including him being the biggest hypocrite around.
Who, Sean?
Yeah. Sean did something this weekend that I would argue is unforgivable.
What'd you do, Sean?
I tell you what I didn't do. Wear a Max Scherzer shirt and try to pass it off as something else.
Let me make this clear. This is an Edwin Diaz shirt, all right? Sean is calling from Northport. How you doing, Sean?
Hey, guys. How you doing? Love the show.
Thank you, Sean.
Appreciate it. What's up, man?
So, appreciate you played that Howie clip first. I'm living out in California last year. I've got MLB TV, but I'm on a nice hike with my wife. I'm not going to make her wife watch this game. But I see it's a no-hitter in the fifth inning. We're kind of at this remote part of it. I'm like, I got to listen to this, and I've got no TV, so turn on the radio. Now it's going, it's seventh inning, we get to an even more remote place, now it's the ninth inning, and I make her stop on the middle of this, like, bridge walking out to this beach, and I've got the thing pumping loud, people are walking by looking at me like I'm crazy, and they throw the no-hitter, and I scream, put it in the books, and it was awesome, and she's looking at me like, what is wrong with you? I'm like, they just threw the second no-hitter. I remember where I was for the first one, but that was just an awesome Howie moment, you know, with no TV, listen to the radio. Thanks for playing it.
Standing on the bridge.
Of course. Thanks for the call. Look, I think a lot of these, so Howie's career, he's done TV, he's done radio. The Ranger calls were obviously on WFAN. Mm-hmm. They were doing Ranger games back in the day. He's done radio on The Fan, on a few other radio stations for a long, long time. But before that, he was the TV voice. And obviously with the New York Islanders was the TV voice. But for anyone who's stuck on a trip or stuck in their car, and the only way you're getting the word picture, as Bob Murphy used to say, comes from the radio. It's why the radio play-by-play job, to me, is the greatest job in sports.
Yeah.
Because there's so much importance to it. You know, you are describing everything. So obviously, with some of these radio calls we're going to sprinkle throughout the show, if you were listening to this and this was your lifeline, oh yeah, you remember everything about it.
Yeah, the visuals are always great. But sometimes the visual, you get lost in the picture.
Sure.
And you're not thinking about the moment in a deeper way. Radio, that's what it gives you.
Well, you know what else I think? And this is not to say that Gary Cohen or Michael Kay are not important. Of course they are. TV announcers are important, and they're part of some of the most epic calls of all time. 100%. But you have the option when you're watching TV to also see what you're watching.
Mm-hmm.
So you're hearing it and you're seeing it. When you're on the radio, you're all ears, man. You got no other choice but to trust that what Howie Rose is telling you, or Bob Murphy is telling you, or John Sterling is telling you, or anyone who's filling in now, Brendan Burke over the weekend is telling you.
Emmanuel Babar.
That's a lifeline.
It is.
That's all you got. So there are some classic calls that will sprinkle throughout the day. And like I mentioned, Howie will join us coming up at 5 o'clock. I will give you, though, one of the most underrated calls. And this is not play-by-play. And this is bigger than baseball. I'm going to take you back to 2011, and I think we all remember where we were. 2011, it was a Sunday night. I was getting set for Mets-Phillies, and I had heard that Geraldo Rivera started reporting something, but he couldn't report it. And so I'm like flipping a Fox News, and he's like, I can't say it, but the White House has a big announcement. I can't say it, but the White House has a big announcement. I'm like, what the hell is he talking about? And then the rumors started to come out that we had finally caught Osama bin Laden. And so as the hours started to trickle, and as the Mets are playing the Phillies on Sunday Night Baseball, it now comes out. And we're all getting our information differently. Some are getting it on social media. Some are getting it through their phones. And in Philadelphia on this Sunday night, while the Mets are playing the Philadelphia Phillies, the crowd starts to realize, holy crap. And I know it's been a long time, but let's just remember what it felt like. We needed this man dead. We needed judgment. We needed justice brought to this guy. It had only been 10 years after 9/11. Even now, talking about it, I get angry and I get sad all at the same time. Ladies and gentlemen, here is Howie Rose on the radio describing the scene in Philadelphia as Philly fans and Met fans get the news that we needed to get about Osama bin Laden.
Now the pitch, and it's line foul into the seats down the third base line. One ball, one strike, and I'll tell you what's going on. The crowd is chanting USA, and the reason for that is that there are reports circulating, I am not sure if they've yet been confirmed by the White House, that Osama bin Laden is dead. How that's happened, we don't know, but this crowd now knows it. It's amazing how things seem so important for the moment, like they did when Ryan Howard batted with the bases loaded. And then if it's true that Osama bin Laden has been captured, killed, or whatever, it just takes you back to that awful, awful day. And you wonder why you get so upset or worked up over a baseball game in the first place.
Imagine being in your car, and that's how you found out. And to prove his point correctly, I'm a sick man, right? I wrote a book. I got all these games. I remember exactly where I was. I remember the Geraldo stuff. I remember watching Sunday Night Baseball. I, for the life of me, Tiki, cannot tell you who won that game. Because Howie's right. Didn't matter.
Yeah.
Didn't matter. Well, I honestly have no idea who won that game.
Well, he is right. The sports are a distraction from those type of things and those type of emotions that we get, that we deal with, that get dumped on us. And we try to live our lives and get distracted by the sports or other whatever form of entertainment you want to be distracted by. But he's right. Baseball doesn't matter in those moments. I don't remember where I was or what I was doing, but I remember it happening.
Yeah,
I remember the press conference when the White House actually finally came on air,
right,
and confirmed it. And it was a weird emotion.
Oh yes,
it really was.
It is a weird emotion because someone's dead.
Yes.
So you're like, are we celebrating this? And then you're like, yeah, we are. Like, you just have to think about it for a second, and you're like, yeah, because of the justice that you wanted. Because it always boggled my mind. There were two things that boggled my mind after 9/11. One was, why can't we get this rat bastard? And number two, I wanted them to build that tower immediately as a show of force.
Right.
And it took a while for both of those things, but when both of those things happen, I mean, you go downtown, you see what they put together.
Of course.
It's a beautiful tribute to all that lost their lives on that horrible day. And it took a while, but we got him.
Yeah, we did. In some ways, I wanted him to be on trial, though.
I know. You're probably right to that.
Only so
he can see.
Well, not only that, but you just want to understand. It's not like he was just this thug. I mean, he also was a thug, but he's also highly intelligent.
Yeah.
And so those types, you want to hear from them and then have them be executed.
Right,
or
right,
whatever,
right.
Whatever the punishment would be.
I heard enough
be.
From him, honestly.
Right? I know, but I don't know. The emotion was mixed because I was happy, obviously.
Sure, sure.
But at the same time, like, dude, I want someone to grill you so badly and make you small while you're alive, as opposed to just killing him.
No, I get you. We got more classic Howie Rose calls throughout the day. He'll join us coming up at 5 o'clock. And then later tonight at 6:30, Hal will be hosting a special show from 6:30 to 8 o'clock right here on The Fan as we pay tribute to 50 years in New York sports media for the great Howie Rose. More of your calls coming up at 888-808-1019. And for the New York Yankee fans out there, this was not a good weekend. They lost 2 out of 3 against the Atlanta Braves. Sean Morash made an embarrassment display of himself on Friday night, which we'll get into. Where is the concern level of the New York Yankee fan, especially with more injury news coming our way concerning Giancarlo Stanton? We tackled those issues, more of your reaction to Major League Baseball, out to get the Mets, and Edwin Diaz ejection and subsequent suspension that's coming his way. A lot to do. Evan and Tiki here on The Fan.